The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Third down and nine. Fields has time. Looking deep. Not there. Bernard chasing him. Fields eludes him. Fields is going to take off. Fields has room to run. He's got the first down. Into Houston territory and out of bounds. Herbert. Inside the 10. Still going at the 5. Turns his legs. And he's in. Touchdown, Chicago. Ebner, the running back, on second and 11. Fields fires over the middle, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Petrie, who lost the football but picks it back up. Mills throws up in the air and intercepted by Eddie Jackson. It is a touchback as Jackson comes up with his 12th career INT. Pierce behind Heck, and he is in for a touchdown. First NFL touchdown for Damian Pierce. It's Herbert on first down. He's got some room. Big hole for Herbert. Herbert into Houston territory. And Herbert is finally taken down by Derek Stingley. Pettis is back deep for the Bears. It's a fake. Fake punt up the middle, and the Texans have it. 6 to start the quarter. Fields deep over the middle looking for Mooney. Intercepted by Petrie. His second of the day. Petrie on the return and down at the 39-yard line. Trefield on 3rd and 1. Mills pass deflected. Intercepted. Roquan Smith. And Mills makes the tackle. Santos for the win. Win at the buzzer.
The Bears win 23-20. It's a Bears Victory Monday with me, Jay Hood, on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Cap is off today observing the Jewish holiday, and we're glad that you're with us here this morning as the Bears are now 2-1, getting your reaction. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Hey, it was not aesthetically pleasing. It was not, but the Bears were able to win. They've got some work to do. Even the head coach, Matt Eberflus, talked about himself making mistakes as a head coach, how the offense is a work in progress, how the defense has to get better. But it's what we expected from this football team. It's not going to be perfect, but they're working towards something, working toward trying to get better. There's a lot of stuff that was, I'm sure, that they'll see on film that could have been better, for sure, in this victory against the Texans 23-20. We go to the great Alex Brown. He is with us here, part of our family, every Monday at 9 here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Jay Hood, what's going on, man?
What's cracking, man? You know what's happening. A Bears Victory Monday.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to win in this league, is it not?
Yes, it is. It is very hard. So you take these wins. I don't care what they look like. You take them.
What stood out most about the Bears defensively to you?
I guess lack of missed tackles. I thought they tackled a lot better this week than they did against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you can't miss tackles and give up big plays. You gotta, sometimes teams are just going to hit you for a play that is just perfect for the defense you're running, and you got to limit the damage, if you will. So, and I thought they did a good job of that yesterday, but not a super explosive offense in the Texans, but I mean, you do what you need to do, and you make the plays you need to make, and you get off the field and you get out of there with a win. So Roquan Smith was everywhere. Like, he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. I thought he played a really good game, even though some of those tackles, he was almost like saving stuff, like 8 yards down the field. But he was there. He was running. He was making plays all over the field. I love that. Eddie Jackson coming up with a huge play once again. Down in the red zone, coming up with a huge play. So making these big plays, you got your players, that you expect to make plays, they're making plays. And then you got unsung heroes. The kid gets his hand up on the defensive line so Roquan can get the interception. And I messed his name up last night. I don't want to do that again. But so, yeah, that's that type of stuff. That has to all play a part when we're talking about winning a football game. And I don't care who you're playing. It doesn't matter. Sorry about that. That's my dog.
Yes.
I don't care who you're playing. Like, you want to get those wins, man. It's hard, like you said, to win in this league. It is tough.
How can the Bears prevent some of those big plays down the field? We saw this in the Green Bay game and seeing it here in the Texans game, like Moore with a 52-yarder, three receptions good for 63 yards, Collins, Akins. Is there any way for the linebackers to the secondary to prevent the big holes in the defense?
Yeah, I mean, this is a gap defense. I mean, it's not like previous years where – you have 1.5 gaps, so you can literally have two guys thinking the same thing. Whereas in this particular defense, if you know your job, you have the C gap. You don't have the C gap and maybe the B gap. Or if the play goes here, you're going to go to this B gap. No, it's a gap defense. So it's easy to see who's not in the right spot when you turn on the film. So, and the way you fix it is, well, if you're not doing your job, then we're going to put somebody in here that will do the job. That's what this defense requires. It does not – you can't hide from the film. Mm-hmm. You cannot. And there's no excuses. When you have the B-gap and they run through the B-gap, where were you? I think that's where it comes from. Or that's the defense. That is the makeup. That has to be the mindset. And once they get it – and then you need more talent. You need more talent. And you need – I did not mention and haven't mentioned much – all season, Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
We need Robert Quinn to show up. I mean, yeah, the young kids are showing up. You got Gibson showing up. You have Robertson showing up, Robinson showing up. Like, there, you have guys on the defensive line that are showing up. Robert Quinn is not one of those guys right now, and we need him to show up. He is one of the big playmakers on this defense. When he starts to show up, this defense will be better. So we got to stop the run. We're still – I thought we did a decent job compared to the first two games of stopping the run, but we got to be better at it. We got to be gap sound, and I think it'll come as time goes along. We still have to remember this team is in its first year of this particular defense. It is a tough defense when you don't have the players to run it. So our first year running it, 04, I think we were 4-12 that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Briggs and I, we sit there and we talk about this stuff, and it's not like we were just great right out of the gate. We weren't. Even in 05, we started out that season 1-3. So, and it's just when it clicks, now you have to hold it. You hold it for as long as you can, doing it that way and being that aggressive and being making sure you hold guys accountable. And hey, you might run into something that's pretty good.
Alex Brown with us every Monday on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Before I ask you about Justin Fields, just one other question about the secondary. Just like mm-hmm. we have to be patient with a lot of the players and the young players in this team, same thing with the secondary, right, with Brisker and Gordon. It seems like Gordon, every game, Alex, giving up a big play. Brisker had a nice breakup in coverage in the first quarter on 3rd and 4, which I liked. But, you know, what about the growing pains in the secondary with two young guys?
Yeah, with two young guys. I mean, what other teams are coming in and they're testing them. I mean, it's easy. It's easy when they don't throw the ball your way. And no, you're not going to get burnt much. But when they're testing you and they're trying to figure out if you can hold up, it's not always a bad thing. I don't think. I think it helps kids grow mentally, in the sense of you got to get past that play. That was the first quarter. We're going to need you the rest of the game. Hell, we're going to need you the next play. Because if you're thinking about that previous play that you gave up a 17-yard reception on, if you're thinking about that play, the following play, you may give up a touchdown. So we need you to be mentally strong and be able to get past that. Understand, learn from it, but be able to move on and because we need you the next play. So, but I think we see these kids are talented. They're talented. They're going to be a part of the solution. they're not a part of the problem, I don't think. They're going to be a part of the solution when this defense is really good and humming once again. So I like what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're just out of position a little bit. Yeah, you're going to get beat. You got veteran guys that are going against guys that's been in this league for a while that are beating them. But as time go on, you'll see them. They'll continue to grow, and they won't allow that stuff. It'll just be the veterans in this league will have to do something different if they want to beat these young kids. I'm thinking this year, 12 game of the season, you're going to have to come up with something different because they're going to learn from it, and they're talented. They're talented enough to be able to learn from it and grow from it and be better players by, end of the season. So I'm excited for them. I'm excited for this defense and what's to come.
Alex, back in the day when you played, everyone was rooting for the defense because you guys were opportunistic. You got takeaways. I mean, you are the strength of the team. But the problem was that there wasn't enough offense to support how great your defense was under Lovie. And here we go again here, right? You laid out for us what we could see with the defense. And again, it's about adding some talent along with what they have. But offensively speaking, like anybody else knows, that's not good enough. It just, 8 for 17, 106 yards for Justin, and 2 interceptions isn't good enough. And so I'll ask you from your expertise and compare this to Rex. Do you think that Justin has the handcuffs on where they won't allow him to go down the field, or is he gun shy and not sure yet in that in-between game? Should I throw or should I run? How do you see it? Because there's some Rex vibes I'm getting in this regard.
No, I don't think there's Rex vibes. I think the supporting cast around Rex, if you just think about what was around Rex 06. What was around him? What was around him 05? It was, you got two pretty damn good running backs, right? You got Musa Muhammad. You got Bernard Berrien. Okay? Desmond Clark. I don't think what we have now compares to that what Rex had around him. That offensive line, you go out and you already got Olin Krutz. You go out and get Fred Miller. You go get John Tate from Kansas City. You got Roberto Garza in there. You got who I think should be a Hall of Fame already, and Reuben Brown. So when you start to talk about what Rex had around him, no. This is totally different. Rex, we're looking at a kid in Justin Fields. He drops back and throws the ball 11 times, or I think he threw the ball 17 times this time or something. He was sacked 5 times. Come on, we're not even talking about the times he just got hit.
Right.
We're talking about when he got sacked. We're talking last week he threw the ball 11 times, he was sacked 3 times. I mean, I'm pretty decent with numbers. I know that's pretty close to 30%.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? Come on. Do we really want – and I was looking back at posts because I delete some of my posts or take them off or whatever just because now I don't want them up there anymore. Yeah. But I saw this one – back in 2019, we're coming off a game where Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 50-plus times. And when I sit here and I look at what people are saying, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is, do you really want Justin throwing the ball 50 times? What is the positive? We can look at what's wrong or what didn't go right in that game. What went right is that we saw something in that game that we hadn't seen since Walter Payton. Well, we rushed for over 280 yards.
But you know that's not sustainable, Alex. The running game will last for sure. But can you match that with the passing game? That's what I'm saying. That 8 for 17 ain't good enough in this league. Not for the entire season. But this is part of the development, right?
No, this is part of the development. But I think your expectations have to come into perspective here. Because what were you expecting this season to be? Are you expecting them to go win the Super Bowl? I don't. I want to see improvement. I want to see improvement. I think in a couple years, then we'll be in that position. But I don't think many people in Chicago, myself included, thought after 3 games we'd be 2-1. I didn't see that. I didn't see being 2-1. I didn't see where Montgomery goes out of the game and we got a running back in there that runs for 150 yards. Montgomery ran for a buck 50 on 15 carries the game before, or a buck 20 or whatever he ran for, but he had a really good game on 15 carries. So what we see right now is that, as bad as people talk about the offensive line, myself included, we can run block now.
Oh yeah,
we can do that. We can't pass block. So stop asking for us to do that. Why are we asking for coach to put these guys in a position where they can't be, where they're not going to be successful, where they're showing us each and every week they're not good enough to do it? So why do we want them to do it? So we can talk about how bad they are at doing it? Well, we know they can't do it. I mean, we're looking at it. He's been sacked, like, Justin's been sacked 10 times already. We're three games in. Now, are the quarterbacks? Yeah. I mean, Burrow's getting sacked. Well, he's getting sacked like crazy over there, and he has all the weapons in the world. But if you can't protect them up front, do not put a young quarterback out there to throw the ball 30, 40 times when you know you can run the football. Just run the football. And as the season go on, what we will do, we'll be better at play-action passes. We'll start to hit some of these pass plays off of that same run action. That's what I want to see in the Giants game coming up. Because we've shown now on film 2 weeks in a row that we can run the football. Now I want to see some of those play-action passes, and now we need receivers. I mean, we got Mooney. We got Komet. I mean, we need some guys to show up for Justin. And that's not just catching the ball. It's getting open quicker, because we don't have an offensive line that can protect them for that long. So this has to be quick stuff. It can't be 5-7-step drops. It's not going to happen. We're not going to go. I do not want to see Justin throwing the ball 40 times in a game. If so, we're going to be in trouble, or we're in a track meet. And I don't think that anybody believes that if we get in a track meet with somebody, that we're going to win that. So I don't want to be in track meet.
You had one job Saturday. Couldn't get it done against Tennessee, huh? One job. I asked you. I texted you. I said, please beat Tennessee. Please. Couldn't do
it. See, you did that. You text that because – you knew we were going to have a hard time beating them there.
No! I thought you all would be able to get the job done, man. You know I can't stand Tennessee.
Mm-mm. Nah, you know what? We've lost two games, and I get a lot of trash. I get a lot of trash talk to me, and rightfully so. But the two teams we lost to are currently ranked in the top 10. We didn't struggle with Kent State. I mean, we didn't do that.
Oh!
I'm just saying, did not struggle with Kent State.
Don't worry about what we're doing. Don't worry about it. I'll see you at the – you won't be seeing me at the finish line. We'll be holding up a trophy. Don't worry about what
– I won't be there. If you – I mean, I don't – you got a couple more hurdles, and they're getting bigger with Kentucky and UT. Uh-huh. But if you're at the SEC championship game, I will be there on the sideline watching that game.
Okay. Don't worry about what – don't worry about Georgia. Don't worry about it. Man. I just want you to beat Tennessee. All right, man.
I appreciate it. Go Gators as always.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. And bear down. It's Victory Monday, baby. We got to enjoy these things.
Alex Brown with us every Monday right here on Cap and Jay Hood, making fun of my Georgia. Hey, Georgia won barely against Kent State. All right, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We want to hear from you. What did you think of the Bears? Are the Bears prioritizing winning games or developing the quarterback, Justin Fields? You'll hear from Matt Eberflus. We'll hear from Fields and get your reaction as the Bears win. Bears victory Monday. They're 2-1. Can they be able to improve on what they have done so far this season? We'll talk about it on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Cap is off today because of the Jewish holiday. He'll be back tomorrow with Waddle, Tom Waddle, from 7 to 10. Carmen Yurko from 10 to noon, Meller and Tyler Aki from 12 to 2, and I'll be teamed with Mark Silverman from 2 to 6, because we'll be broadcasting live from the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox for the ESPN Chicago Open. So hope that you get a chance to join us tomorrow, and we'll be live on Twitch all day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Hope that you get a chance to follow Courtney Cronin on Twitter, Courtney R. Cronin on Twitter. She was talking about for how well the Bears run block versus Houston en route to 281 yards. The offensive line has a higher pass block win rate at 78% than run block win rate at 71%. She breaks down the numbers. You can check it out yourself on her Twitter, Courtney R. Cronin. Glad you're in today for a Bears victory Monday. And again, it was a mixed bag yesterday because, first of all, it starts with the victory. Imagine what we'd be talking about this morning if the Bears lost to the lowly Texans. They have no idea who they are and what their future is going to be. When it comes to this team, we saw some real great glimpses from the Bears defensively, from Roquan Smith, who led the team in tackles with 16, from Eddie Jackson, who had a takeaway, from Brisker, from Nicholas Morrow. We saw some really good plays, and also the running game was solid. What we saw yesterday was a microcosm of Bears football over the years. If you're a longtime Bears fan, then you know that you've how many games have you seen where the defense made just the right enough plays, just the right amount of plays to be able to help the Bears win? And we saw that yesterday. Davis Mills, however, outplayed Justin Fields. It's like, yeah, it's the NFL, that will happen, but it should not happen where Justin Fields is 8 for 17, 106 yards, and two interceptions. And so the big question for me this morning is, will we see Justin Fields, I don't know, have 25 attempts? I told Cap on Friday, he said, what's the number? I said 22. How about 22 attempts, 8 for 17, 106 yards? And the question is, Is he afraid to go down the field? Are they handcuffing him? To me, when I see him have somewhere between 3.26 and 4 seconds, which is what all the websites say that cover this stuff, like Pro Football Focus, there's time, but it's just the clock in his head. Can he be able to connect to Komet and Mooney and St. Brown on a regular basis? Now, the Bears don't have, quote-unquote, a number one Pro Bowl receiver. But the offense has to be more than just running the football. We heard from Alex Brown earlier. Brown is good with running the football and a strong defense. You know why? Because that's how he was able to win. That's how he was able to win, because his teams under Lovie, that was the hallmark of their success. However, I will tell you, in this league, you have to be vertical. If it's not now, when? Or if it'll happen under Eberflus. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Some thoughts here from Eberflus regarding the improvement with Justin Fields.
That, to me, is getting there. You know, where that position, that's a hot position, and that we need production out of that, and he certainly had a really good game today.
Now, what would you say to people who might be more concerned about the step back that Justin Fields might have taken than they are excited about the step forward your football team took?
Yeah, like I said, it's always going to be about the football team. You know, so we're going to develop this whole football team, and he is one piece of that for sure. But, you know, as we grow, we got to get better at all spots. You know, run defense, run offense, pass defense, pass offense, the whole thing. And if we make steps, we keep making steps as we go, we're going to like what we see.
He's telling you the truth, that this Bears team is in development and they're trying to get better every single game. Because he knows, like we know, that the Bears are bereft of solid difference-making talent so far this season. And that's fair to say. There are some. It doesn't mean it's incomplete. There are a few guys that are making plays, but you want to have more. And that's what free agency and the draft is for. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Charlie, what's going on here with this microphone? What's Shay doing?
I fixed it.
I asked Charlie. Get out of the way. Charlie, yeah. What's going on
there? I don't know. It looks like it came unscrewed from the base of it or something.
You're talking about the microphone now, right?
Yes, still the microphone.
Okay, all right. Just checking here. I mean,
looks like he's back though.
I understand, but you don't have to be so aggressive with the mic. You don't have to do that,
dude. I wasn't even touching it. It fell in my lap.
First of all, it's Jonathan, that dude. And secondly, you don't grab the mic and break it. That's a fine.
I didn't touch it. It fell in my lap.
Oh, I'm sure.
I walked in and Shay was like punching it like a boxing bag earlier this morning.
Yes,
when I walked in.
Just like your spouse. It just fell in my lap. Right? No, you had to work at it to be able to have a spouse.
Well, that's true. But I don't have to work on the mic falling into my lap.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You're there. I've got something to say. This is horrible. This team's and then you broke the mic.
The mic tried to tell me that Gray's Lake should only be one word.
It's unbelievable. Stop breaking stuff around here. You'll get your thoughts out. I had to grab the mic so aggressively.
Buddy, it fell in my lap. I wasn't touching it.
Mm-hmm. Would you touch it earlier?
Oh, a little bit.
Did you like it?
I think it liked it more.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask
it? That's how I got my spouse.
Did you ask it? Did you ask it?
No.
Okay. 312-332-3776. There's a cocky guy. I'm great. This is horrible, Charlie. This team's horrible. And that's why he broke the mic aggressively.
He was still pretty fired up about that Michigan State game from this weekend.
He's going to start swinging on people. Don't bring up the Spartans. Terrible. All right, my friends, we're going to take your phone calls coming up. Don't break your microphone as you're listening. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. On a Bears victory Monday, the Bears won. But I want to find out your thoughts in the game, the good and the bad of what happened at Soldier Field. Captain Jay Hood, morning, 7 to 10. Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're with us. That ESPN Chicago app, by the way, that is where you can find some of our fine programming here, like KJM, the full show of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You can hear all 4 hours on the app, on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you're just joining us here on this Bears Victory Monday, yeah, we're celebrating the Bears victory, but you know, as good as the offensive line was opening up lanes, I love that the running game was potent, man. It was strong. That's exactly what you need. You need to have something positive offensively. If that's where you're going to go, you make sure you do it well. The question is, will the passing game get better? That's all. Like, that performance by Justin Fields was bad. Like, I know it. Justin Fields knows it. I mean, he evaluated his game, said it was trash.
Yeah, you better. Almost things that we're pushing up. I mean, that's it. I'll tell you, straight up, I'll just play like, I don't want to say A word, but I'm not going to do that, but I'll just play like draft. Play terrible, and really just got to be better. Just the picks, one of our keys to victory on offense is, 100% ball security, so really just the turnover. The incomplete passes, just a couple throws out there today, really just the interceptions, the stuff that I can control, I would say.
He's upset with the picks. For whatever reason, that mic is off at Soldier Field. Why is it, here's the thing that's really strange. We'll get to the phone lines. Why is it that Lovie Smith's mic?
That's whenever you and a team is able to rush the ball for that many.
How come his mic is strong and the Bears is like off? It's off, like the mic's off. It's weird. Why'd that happen, Shay?
They just had an iPhone up there with voice memo on when Fields went up.
I guess so.
That's what he was talking into.
I mean, it's just like, it's just so strange. But he was talking about what upset him most was the picks. And guess what? You want him to take shots down the field, he did, and there was two interceptions that took place. And indeed, he did get sacked a lot, and this is where I'm talking about, where it's a process with this Bears team. All right, let's go to the phone lines. What do you think? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Nick is in Skokie on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Hoodie. I'm a big fan, brother. I got to ask, side note, before I get started, Hoodie, are you a wrestling fan?
I am.
Dude, I honestly thought it was a completely different. And it's you. I'm always looking for podcasts or somewhere to go community-wise. If you have any suggestions, let me know, man.
Can I give you one? Can I give you one?
Absolutely, brother.
Have you downloaded the ESPN Chicago app?
Yes.
Okay, if you go to the ESPN Chicago app, you'll see something called Good Karma Wrestling. You can't miss it because it's in the NWO font. Remember how the black and white?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so if you go to Good Karma Wrestling, you can get content every week right there.
No way.
Yes. We're on every Thursday at 6 p.m. at ESPN 1000 on Twitter, and we have the podcast. So if you're a wrestling fan, it's right there. Good Karma Wrestling. You can't miss it. It's in black and white.
Good Karma Wrestling. Perfect, brother. Honestly, I felt kind of dumb asking, but I'm glad it's you.
Yes. Yes. It's right there. Thanks for – hope you enjoy it.
So I probably will. I've been watching for 30 years, so probably. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a lot at you real fast. Sure. I think it was last week – Shay, I don't know if Shay can hear me or not. You were doing a ranking 1 through 5, and Shay gave Justin Fields a 2. And at first I thought that was nuts, but now that I think about it, that's an actually genius score to give Justin Fields. So, Shay, if you can hear me, that was spot on. And here's my issue with Justin Fields. I don't think he's going to be here after the rookie deal, and here's my reasoning for why. One, I can't remember the last time an Ohio State-made quarterback had sustained success in the NFL. I could be wrong. I could be missing someone. If Justin Fields had come out of the SEC or had played 2-3 years in the SEC, I don't think he is the Justin Fields that people take him to be now. Now, with that being said, he's young. It's a small sample size, but there's just things that I'm seeing that, like, it just doesn't fit. I think the Bears have a really, really athletic football player playing the quarterback position, but I don't know that they necessarily have a quarterback playing the quarterback position. That's the first thing. Second thing, I took Justin Fields yesterday to throw for 167 yards. That was the over-under, 167, and he couldn't get that. And I think that that's kind of alarming in the sense that we're talking about, what, 90 yards a half to throw for? And I got guys around the league that are throwing for 400, 300 yards. And I know people will say, well, he doesn't have a whole lot around him. Then stop selling me Mooney and stop selling me Pringle. Then you can't have both sides of the coin of that sense. And my last point I'm going to make is this. What I dislike the most about what's going on with him right now, and I know it's a young quarterback thing, he's going to take a hit. He's going to take a hit one time because he either didn't read the defense or we're going to have a deja vu of that Cleveland preseason game, but he's going to take a hit because he didn't read the offense correctly or the ball was supposed to go, and it didn't, and he relied too much on his leg. And that is why I think at the end of his rookie deal, you're looking for a new quarterback.
Got you. Appreciate your telephone call. So we were talking about 1 through 5, right? And so, Shay, Nick says you had 2. I think I had him at a 3. As far as, like, 1 through 5, what's your confidence level in Fields? You said 2. I think I said 3.
Ask me again.
Your confidence level in Justin Fields?
1.
All right. We, and I can understand because you want him to be able to flourish and go down the field. You're right, Charlie. Charlie was telling me in my ear during that call that we're not sure if that was Nick from Skokie or Eddie from the North Side talking about Ohio State quarterbacks.
It's the Ohio State quarterback theory, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like when Eddie calls in, what about Arch Leister? What about Troy Smith, Terrell Pryor, Cardale Jones, the late Dwayne Haskins, Bobby Hoying? Those guys were no good in the NFL. He's right. We're hoping that Justin Fields can break the mold. And by the way, Justin was a Georgia guy first. He is an SEC quarterback. But then he went to the Big Ten, went to Ohio State. Now he's with the Bears. Now what, Charlie?
I mean, maybe Kirby knew something. Maybe Kirby knew his from all along.
Yeah, Georgia probably is Georgia as successful if they would have went with Justin?
Makes you think. But it is funny, though, because anytime we get caught up in this, this school doesn't produce quarterbacks, good quarterbacks don't grow on trees. Like, it's a lot harder for a school to be, like, produce quarterbacks than, you know, like, I don't know. I've just always had a hard time with that.
The thing I've always said is if you can't draft a quarterback from this school, point to me where the quarterback factory is. Show me. There isn't one. There's, you just get them and they're good. But there's like, what, 10, 12 NFL quarterbacks, like, that we would say are good?
Yeah, is Wyoming a quarterback factory now?
It is not. I mean, no, it is not. There's no quarterback factory. You would think that the best program in college football, Alabama, would have one of those. And jury's still out on a number of them, but none of them are what I would consider top 5.
They got 2 that might be really good,
though. We'll see.
Tua and Hurts.
We'll see. You got our undefeated Eagles team, undefeated Dolphins team, correct? Led by 2 Alabama quarterbacks. We'll see.
One of them might win the MVP.
One of them has a broken back and a concussion.
Well, they said he didn't have a concussion. Oh, okay. They brought him back out.
We know what that looks like, Shay. We know what it looks like. Either drunk or concussed. One or the other. Something happened there. That was tough. I felt bad for him. I was sad to watch. It's like, why is he still on the field? Tua.
Stephen Ross got him the Brady brand water. Got him healthy at halftime.
Streamwood, here's Matt on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Hoodie, thanks for taking my phone call. Hoodie, I don't know who that pregame announcer was on CBS that said that Ryan Poles is going to be active in the wide receiver market before the trade deadline. And I don't know when the trade deadline is, it week 6 or 7? But I just hope that Ryan Poles doesn't wait now, because you're right, Justin Fields' confidence is shot, and he has no reliable receivers. And I don't know what happened to Pringle. They said he went out in the first quarter or second quarter, and I don't even know if his injury is sincere or if it's a, you know, a legitimate injury or what, but he's not back. So we still don't have Velus Jones practicing. He hasn't even practiced two times in a row. So I just hope Ryan Poles doesn't wait till the trade deadline, because that Justin Fields needs a reliable receiver and some confidence in himself to get these games going, because each week it gets worse and worse for him, Odi.
No, you're right about that, and I appreciate your telephone call. Well said. Can't really say. You know, it's. I don't know which someone said that maybe in the pregame. He said, I don't know who that was.
It looks like it's Jonathan Jones.
Oh. He said that the Bears would be active in the wide receiver market. I don't think so. But he's one of those insiders, too, though. I know who he is. I doubt that's where the Bears go unless they feel like they're close. Will they be close by the deadline that they need to add? Probably not.
The NFL deadline also is not like NBA. You're not going out and getting somebody and really changing the team like you do in the NBA or in Major League Baseball. The NFL, it's hard to implement guys into a new offense, a new defense, whatever. You got to teach them a new scheme. It's real difficult to get an impact player at the deadline and like add anyway. And the Bears certainly won't be in position to do that.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million for the best. Sign my ball. Andrew Catalan and James Lofton did the game yesterday, and Michael Grady was on the sidelines. Grady's my friend. He's the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big voice. Little guy, big voice. I love Grady. He's a great guy. Did you notice, Shay? I thought that maybe we were seeing the worst game in the NFC. Was it the worst game yesterday on CBS? Because Catalan and Lofton, their two-shot, when they went up to the booth, they had no CBS logo behind them, no step and repeat. Nothing. It was just a concrete wall behind him.
CBS is like, I don't want to be affiliated with this game.
I mean, wait a minute. What happened there, Charlie? Like, usually, you know, you have gravitas. It looks good. You got the CBS logo behind you. Like, and those two, just like, they were shooting up, you know, like from the
good
upper
old Dutch angle.
Yeah. And they're shooting, like, you know, blank up. And then it's just like, what about the background?
Yeah, next game they're going to use the cameras that like the offensive coordinator has. They're just going to put that on the two guys.
I understand that we're not necessarily a great game. It's the Texans with no wins and the Bears struggling. But my God, give us a little gravitas there. Give us a little something. Poor, you know, Catalan and by the way, they were showing James Lofton all over the Bears when Lofton played for the Packers. He was a hell of a receiver. But they showed him just like running over the Bears defense. They had to dig those highlights because a lot of teams weren't going through the Bears defense back then. Not like that. But Lofton had a great game. I saw that highlight of that. Like, get that off my screen. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up, and also the Cap and J Hood cut of the day. All part of the mix on Cap and J Hood. Hope that you had a great football weekend. I did. Cooler temperatures. Put a little barbecue on the grill for a college football Saturday. Chilled at the crib watching the Bears and the NFL on Sunday. It's just a good relaxing weekend. And then the Bears. It's a good relaxing weekend and then the Bears come on. Right? Everything's cool. Then the Bears come on. Now I'm sitting up watching very closely and seeing how this offense can gel. And again, my closing thought, guys, is that you can click your heels, you can close your eyes, you can scream and yell, but this is what it is for now. And this is why when people look for development right away, like Super Bowl skills right away, more times than not, you're going to be disappointed. I don't care what people say online or what they do on these TV talk shows. Ultimately, what we saw was not good enough, and we'll talk about it every week here on Cap and J Hood. We definitely will talk about it. But I also have the understanding that this team is trying to develop something. Hell, how much did we rant and rave about trying to have something new at House Hall? How you got to get a new GM, a new head coach. Well, it happened, right? Well, just because you have a new head coach and GM doesn't necessarily mean that you are a Super Bowl champion. Now, don't get it twisted. When we're seeing you in other teams, like Miami, for instance, with a new head coach, that's pretty good. Jacksonville, new head coach, it's pretty good. Is it sustainable? We'll see. But with this team, you know everything's predicated on the offense. somehow, some way, we're going to go through another phase in which the defense will be able to develop faster than the offense. And I will tell you, that ain't good enough. It just isn't. The idea that you just run the football and play defense and think that you're going to win 10 games or be a Super Bowl contender does not work. If you throw the football down the field enough, you'll get calls in this soft league. You'll get calls. And that will help your offensive development along with making big plays. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
They're 2-1. They're not a good football team. They don't have enough talent. I know everyone is going nuts at the end of the first half why they're not calling timeouts. Well, I'm sitting there with Lance Briggs, Dave Wanstead, and Alex Brown, and they're saying, two of them, Lance and Alex, not coach. Lance and Alex?
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that's the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Go to chicagocutsteakhouse.com for private events, for menus and wine and everything else. It's the best. Go to chicagocutsteakhouse.com. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting all day from the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox in the South Suburbs. Cap will be teamed with Waddle for that show from 7 to 10, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 10 to 12, Meller and Aki from 12 to 2. I will be with Sylvie between 2 and 6 tomorrow here on ESPN 1000. No White Sox baseball today, so our regulars are in, including Mike Greenberg coming up right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. We thank you for listening and twitching and calling in to Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Shay, as well as Charlie on the other side of the glass. For Cap, who will be back here tomorrow, I am Jonathan Hood. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show right here on ESPN 1000. So long, everybody. From Chicago.